Welcome back to Be More Super, the podcast, where we explore the world of entertainment with celebrity interviews from your favorite movies and TV shows. So grab your popcorn and let's get to know these stars better and what really makes them super. We are brought to you by PropStore.com, where you can find your very own piece of entertainment memorabilia from screen-used props to costumes. Now, here's your host, Brian Garner.
So on this week's episode of Be More Super, the podcast, we're joined by an excellent actor, writer and director, star of Sugar Highs and The Holiday Shift. It's Adam Fox. Adam, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you.
Do you know what? I'm really, really excited because Sugar Highs, amazing show. Love it.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I've watched it all. I cannot wait for season two to find out actually what happens at the end. It's quite devastating. I don't want to ruin it for anyone, so they need to go and watch it. But we will talk about it in depth because I've got quite a few questions about it that I want to go over. But first of all, where are you based? Where are you calling in from?
I'm in Vancouver, Canada, and you can tell because it's very gray in my apartment.
Well, I'm in the UK, so it's always gray. At least Vancouver is
completely pitch black where you are.
Sorry, what's that? Pitch black. It is. I've got soundproofing stuff all the way around, but it is 10 o'clock at night, so it is pretty dark outside. I've got to say, I was watching an interview that you did recently, and you mentioned that you were over in the UK. And you were trying your dab hand at doing accents. What part of the UK was you in?
I said that? That's funny. I went to the UK twice this year. I went in the spring because I wanted to see if I wanted to live there or live there part-time.
Okay.
So I did a month just in London. And then later I was traveling through Europe. And I met somebody from the UK and went back to the Midlands with him, to his village.
Yes, I'm from the Midlands. Yeah. I'm from the East Midlands.
Oh, you are?
I'm from near Nottingham.
Okay. My friend's ex-boyfriend is from there. He's from Paddingham.
Paddington? Or
Paddingham. Paddingham is near Wolverhampton. It's
Near Birmingham. Yeah.
Closer to Birmingham. Yeah, it's about an hour from Nottingham.
They have got a weird accent. I've got to say, for the UK, literally, you can travel 100 miles and the accent completely changes. It's hilarious. It really, really is. But no, I mean, come over to the UK. You know, we'll be pleased to have you. Is that to work, to actually work in the theatre or on screen?
Yeah, I guess both, and because auditions are still on self-tape anyways, so I kind of was thinking, I like Vancouver, but it is, it falls short a little bit when it comes to like culture and arts, and I've lived in New York before and other parts of the world, so it's just like, I kind of like the idea of splitting time between Vancouver, like where my family is and the industry and everything, and then somewhere like London or LA or New York, but... we'll see. I would also like to work there as well, but I know it's hard because I think a lot of the TV and movies, they would want mostly like a perfect English accent. And I'm sure there are roles for Americans, but English people can also do an American accent quite well. So
not me. But I've got to say, London's nightlife is absolutely amazing. So I wanted to ask, what got you into this mad industry? Because, you know, it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's probably one of these jobs that keeps you up all night and makes you live life on the knife's edge because, you know, you're going from one job to the next. So what really ignited you to come into the... you know, the industry?
Yeah. That's true what you said. It's interesting because there's sometimes now where I'm like, I used to be really shy when I was younger and like, very like, I liked to cocoon, like I liked to just kind of stay small and whatever. And I feel like the interesting thing about like expanding and getting more confident and doing a career path that's a lot more like out, like outer, more like you're expressing, like everything's out there. It's interesting, and like I have moments sometimes where I'm like, is this what I do? Like, what's going on? Because it feels so far from who I used to be. But I do think I always wanted to express, and I think it was just other issues that were preventing me from doing that. But I think that is actually why I wanted to do it. Like, I just kind of was in my early 20s and needed to pick a direction. I had already tried sort of academia, and I liked it, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do with it. And I'd never really given myself the opportunity to do anything in the entertainment industry. The family that I grew up with, they're very creative, but they would have been the last people to be show parents. Like, they wouldn't even know where to start. They wouldn't even know what an audition is. Or they might know what an audition is, but, like, they have no idea how the film industry works. Like, I'll finish filming something, and 2 weeks later, they'll be like, oh, can we watch it now? And I'm like, it takes months or like a year to edit something, not 2 weeks. But yeah, I think I just made a measured decision that I wanted a more vibrant, kind of emotionally engaged life. And I knew that acting, even if I didn't do well at it, I'd at least be like learning how to do it. I'd be more connected to myself. I'd know myself better. And then just my life would be more vivid than if I just kind of stayed where I was at and did business or something.
I mean, it's strange that you say about being shy, because it's quite common with performers, you know, to be introverted, but when they're on stage, they're literally out there for everyone, you know. And it's funny you say about show parents, because I did performing arts at college and university. Oh. and literally my dad was ex-army, a man's man, and he couldn't understand why I wanted to be on stage and be Clifford Bradshaw in Cabaret and sing and dance, which he came around to. He quite enjoyed it, to be fair, and ended up joining a singing group himself in his later years, bless him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bless. But, I mean, have you got a plan in place of what you want to achieve in this industry? I mean, have you got any, like, sort of life goals for your career in who you want to work with and what you want to achieve in the way of awards or films or TV?
Yeah, good question. It's interesting because, like, with all the talk of, like, manifesting and goal setting and all that, it's interesting because I think a lot of people want to say, like, sky's the limit or whatever, but I actually think that my goals have been smaller. So it's kind of surprised me. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, I started with a new agent, and I just wanted to book, like, small, like, I just wanted to book literally anything. I didn't really care. I mean, I cared, but, like, it was a small, tangible kind of goal at first. But then I got, like, a lead role, and, like, I don't know, that kind of, like, moves things a little ahead. And then, you know, after you do a lead role, you get the sense of what that's like and how it is more or less, like, the best in this industry. So, yeah, I guess at this – and then it used to be, like, that I would like to be able to support myself basically only from acting or film, which I'm not quite there yet, but, like, it's a primary source of income. So, yeah, I think some of the goals have already been kind of hit. So I guess a new goal at this point would be, I guess to fully sustain it and just be kind of conscious of what I'd like to do next, or, like, continue, keep a forward momentum, keep trying new things. I actually haven't done a ton of film stuff. It's been more TV. So I'd love to do a coming of age film. But there's not, like, a timeline really This is making me feel like I should have some.
No, it's fine. You're still growing, aren't you? I mean, performers are always growing. They're always developing. They're always and when you say about small roles, I often find that when I'm watching certain shows, I actually gravitate towards those small roles because, you know, that those supporting casts are as important as the lead. To be fair, because without the supporting cast, you know, you wouldn't have the lead.
No, and they're often quite funny. Like, yeah, I definitely notice it. Like when there's a supporting actor that's quite funny, it's noticeable. But yeah, with the goals, it's interesting. I have a friend that started doing tarot readings, and we did one last week, and it sounded very positive.
So you believe in all that then, because that scares the living out of me. I don't know. It's like crystals and tarot cards and everything like that.
I have a crystal right here.
Have you really? Do you know what? Yeah. My little girl is obsessed with crystals. Obsessed. And literally, she's got to have a certain crystal with her when she goes to school. And it's pretty sweet. And to be fair, if that's what she gravitates to and she gets something out of it and it's positive, I'm all for that. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of this stuff is like, it's pretty harmless. When I do anything like that, I just try not to be cynical and I'll just make the choice to just drink the Kool-Aid and buy into it because I think you get more out of it. And, you know, who knows for sure if it's real or not. But, I mean, this one is just, like, meant to be good for, like, creativity and focus. So it's just on my desk.
But I suppose that makes you focus. That makes you believe. That makes you drive a bit because you've got that belief in that. So
yeah, it's a little bit, no it harm. Could be psychosomatic, who knows. But actually, while I was in London, I was connected to a Canadian actor who had moved to the UK and started a family, and I was telling him that I was sort of trying to figure out, like, do I want to split time with another place, where in the world do I want to live? And he told me about the astrology shop on Neal Street in London, and that you can do an astrocartography chart. And basically it tells you, based on like the meridians and everything of the world, like where will bring out the best of you. So like, and then I got mine and I was thinking like, well, what if it says like the middle of the ocean? But they were all really, really big cities. So
So some decision making to be had there then with your chart that you had, which I'm sure we will find out in the future. I wanted to quickly talk about auditions because love them or hate them, we've got to do them. And obviously you mentioned earlier that it's a lot of self-tape now, but have you got any stories of any like sort of nightmare auditions or any stories of like the best audition that you've had?
I've had nightmare like film experiences. I did modeling before I did acting, and I did modeling in Asia. So some of the called them more castings, but sometimes they were more like auditions because they were for commercials, and they were often quite like very different from how like they would do them in like England or North America. It felt like very like odd things. Like, I don't know, there was one where they were just like, we just want you to like scream. But I don't know what they meant. Maybe they meant something else, because I screamed at the top of my lungs and they all just looked shocked. And they're like, okay, wow. You really screamed.
But did you get it?
No. Oh, darn. And then like there were a couple like friends that were like waiting to see them, and afterwards they were like, what was that scream? They were like, was that you? It was terrifying. So yeah, I feel like there were a lot of experiences like that. And actually recently I was remembering, this is less about the audition, but one time on my way to one when I was in Singapore, I didn't listen to the Google Maps, and I thought I could go a different way. And I ended up on the side of the highway, which was quite scary. And then to get out of there, I climbed over the like barricade, and then it ended up on like this like muddy hill in the jungle. And I showed up at a casting with like so sweaty with like dirt on my face. It was crazy.
Oh, bless you. Bless you. But you know what? Let's talk about sugar daddies, because this show, Sugar Highs, I mean, it's just fantastic. It really, really is. It's so funny. It's so witty. You know, it's a show that is on Out TV, but I feel that it's a show that should be on mainstream TV, because I think that we've evolved in a way that, I mean, I'm 44, so I'm like Gen X or whatever you want to call it. And you know, I've come from the age where, I mean, I did performing arts. I mean, I've got to tell you this funny story. So I had a mate called Greg, who I did a course with for performing arts. And back in the mid-90s, you know, being around gay people, it was quite sort of unheard of, and it was really weird because it was kept very like under the radar. And I remember my friend Greg wanted to take me for a drink because he needed to tell me something, and he sat me across this table and he said, look, you're my best mate, I've got to tell you something, I'm gay. And I downed my pint and I had to process it, and then I thought to myself, do you know what, nothing's changed, he's still my best mate. I mean, he hasn't got horns. He's not going to eat me alive. Do you know what I mean? And then the rest, I just thanked him for that, because that was my introduction to the gay community. And then it just went uphill from there on. On my 18th birthday, I actually went to a gay club. So do you know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. And you know what I mean? I did performing arts, so, you know, I think I was the only straight guy on the course, to be fair. But but this, I just think it's hitting so many boundaries, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, how did this project come about for you? I mean, what attracted you to Sugar Highs?
Yeah, I love everything you said. That's great. So the audition came in like end of summer 2021. And I just remember just being like, oh my God, like, this is too good to be true. Like, this role seems perfect for me. And I felt that like the first movie I saw that I really loved was a movie called Chloe, which was about a high-end escort. These are not necessarily high-end escorts. They're more like poor scoundrels. But yeah, I was always just kind of like drawn to that sort of underbelly of the world of like, you know, the mystery and whatever. That's a very dramatic movie. It's not a comedy, but, you know, still somewhat similar subject matter. And yeah, I just felt like it was like a world that I kind of was curious about already and kind of knew a bit about. So I auditioned, had some callbacks, and then was very excited to book it. And then filmed season one shortly after that, and then filmed season two about a year later.
Excellent. I mean, when is season two coming out? Because I've only found season one, and literally I'm dying to find out what happens next within their stories.
I was told March. So
okay.
I think March.
because what I liked about it is that some of the relationships with the sugar daddies, I've got to say, they're really nice. I think is it Mikey? And his
Mickey,
and the relationship he has with one of his sugar daddies is actually really, really nice. And
yeah, theirs is quite sweet.
Yeah, but it is quite funny. And I mean, playing a character like that, what did you enjoy the most? Because your character Bud is quite money orientated, very selfish at times. Well, quite a lot of the time. I mean, what was the most enjoyable thing about playing Bud?
I think what's fun about playing Bud is there's a lot of things, but I think like earlier on, like auditioning and getting into the industry, there was a lot of like, I don't know, the ideal like actor being just like very masculine or whatever else, and stereotypically male. So it was fun to play a character that was simultaneously very confident, very assertive, and very like effeminate and unapologetically so. And yeah, it's an interesting like way of navigating the world. Like I think I'm often more so the person that is pursuing the other person. So it was like nice playing somebody where like everybody's kind of coming to him and he's the one dumping people or you know, ruining people's lives. yeah, there's like a lot of fun. It's a very fun character. I just remember thinking like, you know, yeah, people will like this character.
I mean, I would say if all the cast are coming back, but that would give too much away, and because obviously it ends certain characters going away, etc. But can you tease maybe, will Bud, you know, will he find happiness in season two? Will he find sort of a, you know, a new way of thinking? Or are we going to be expecting the same Bud then that we see in season two, season one?
Yeah, I'm trying to think where it ends. It starts out that he's in a pretty like desperate place. Like he's not doing well financially, and like is quite aggressive, like more aggressive than ever, in a lot of different ways. But I'm trying to think. I think he grows a bit. I mean, I don't think this is the type of show where the characters aren't meant to like grow a huge amount, like because it is more comedic. Like I think they are meant to sort of get in their own way and, you know, be their worst enemy. You know, it's like none of these guys are like in therapy. you know.
Good.
None of them are meditating or doing yoga. But yeah, I mean, I do think, I think he has some moments that he like sees himself more. And I think that there's more remorse, like he shows more remorse at times in season two. So that's a bit of growth. And yeah, I think there's some differences.
I mean, I can't wait for season two. And is there any rumors or rumblings about a season three? Because I know you've obviously already filmed season two. So will we be getting a season three?
I think it's a maybe. That's what I heard. So fingers crossed. I threw out a couple ideas to the writer, if there is one. So.
Well, to be honest, it's very wittily, you know, it's very witty in the way it's written, and it's very well put together. Where, you know, I just wanted to watch the next episode, and then it ended, and I was like, "Darn it!"
I know it's so quick. I think if there was another season, I would love it if they were like longer episodes.
Definitely, definitely. And then obviously we've got obviously Christmas here, or the holidays, as you say, over there. I mean, what's the holidays like over there? Is it on speed? Do you know what I mean? Is there like, you know, decorations everywhere? Have they gone overboard for where you are in Vancouver?
So it's interesting because I'm basically still with that guy that lives in the Midlands, and he's there, and he owns a restaurant in his village. So it's interesting because like here everything is closed on Christmas Day. The only things that are open are like various kinds of like Asian foods, so, like Chinese food restaurants would be open and movie theaters would be open. So the stereotype for Jewish people in North America is that on Christmas Day they would like get Chinese food and go to a movie. But I celebrate Christmas. So yeah, I would say it's different from England. Like, the guy's name as well. And on Christmas Day, they're open. And it's their biggest day of the year. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. Nobody here would go to a restaurant on Christmas Day. They would cook or whatever. But yeah, I think, I mean, everything closes on Christmas Day. But like, if I look outside, like it's not, I imagine London or the rest of England would be a lot more decorated in the city. I think Canada is different than the U.S. is more festive and patriotic. Canada tends to be festive, but less festive and less patriotic.
Do you have a Boxing Day in Canada? Do you know, like the day after Christmas?
We do, yeah.
Excellent, because obviously in America, they have Christmas Day and then they go back to work, which I think is, you know, astonishing, because we try and have as many days off work around Christmas as we can get away with.
Well, I associate Boxing Day with shopping. Less than it used to, but it used to be the big
Boxing
shopping
Day sales. Yeah, I mean, Boxing Day is still another day that you can, well, you try and get off. It's normally the family day where you go and see extended family, which everyone just moans and groans about. Yeah. Oh. But then talking about holidays, obviously the holiday shift, which is on Roku.
Roku, yeah.
Roku. It's really bad. I've got one of these devices in my girl's room.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. And the holiday shift, if you can tell us a bit about this show, the trailer looks absolutely hilarious. It's my kind of show. Definitely is.
Yeah, so this show is a 5-episode Christmas comedy, and it's about those 6 people that are the 6 leads on it. And so basically, they all work at this mall in a fictional place called Love, Ohio. And there's 5 different love stories happening. So I'm part of the guy you see in the plaid sweater. I'm his love interest, so the queer love story. And yeah, it's just like, it's very cute. Oh yeah, there he is. Us together. Yeah, it's very cute. It's very like actually funny. Like it's interesting myself, because I've been engaging more with the holidays this year. For whatever reason, this was the year that I was like, I was feeling more disconnected from holidays the last couple of years. So this year I was like, I'm going to watch lots of Christmas things. I've like decorated my apartment. I'm Jewish too, so I like celebrated Hanukkah quite heavily. But like as I'm doing it, I'm like trying to find good holiday movies that are recent. And there's a lot of great classics or like older funny movies that are Christmassy, but recently there's not a lot of great stuff. So this show is actually like, it's legitimately quite funny. It's quite good. And it's festive and it's inclusive. You know, it's got queer people, it's got people of all races, it's even polyamory. It's like, it's still family friendly, but it's like, you know, they mention like boobs and stuff like that. And yeah, it's got just the right amount of edge, I think, but it's still quite like family friendly and wholesome.
Awesome. I mean, when we talk about diversity and inclusion, I mean, how do you think the entertainment industry has evolved in terms of, you know, the LGBTQ plus community, you know, with representation since you started your career? And what positive changes have you observed since starting your career to now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's changed quite a bit. When I first started out, I feel like, I was very much kind of sort of veered in a direction towards like not being in the closet, but like kind of making sure if I was just like being careful about how I presented and really presenting really masculine for auditions. More or less kind of like my identity was very much presented as an obstacle. So it's interesting the last few years, because I think like a lot of like once was an obstacle is now like a way in, which has been true for my career especially. But I think what's been really good is they've been really great about like racial diversity, and diversity where it is more black and white, like a trans person is trans, a non-binary person is non-binary, I think it gets a little bit more challenging to do when it's more invisible minorities, like bisexual people, gay people, and lesbian people. I think men especially, just because, or male-identifying people, just because we have, like, with women, it's more flexible, like how a woman, when a woman's more feminine or masculine, like, a more masculine woman can still be the female love interest of a mainstream movie. Like, they're like, oh, she's kind of edgy, we like it. Whereas, you know, with men, it's like people have historically not really liked seeing men be more effeminate or soft or sensitive, which I think is changing even amongst, like, straight men and straight roles. You know, seeing people like Timothée Chalamet be the leads of things, it's like that's a different kind of masculine than, like, Harrison Ford. Timothée Chalamet will probably never be like Harrison Ford even as he gets older. So, like, that's just not who he is. He is more like kind of soft and playful and boyish. So yeah, I do feel it moving in a direction. Like, I would like it to, you know, move a bit quicker, but, it still feels like it's going in the right direction. So yeah, fingers crossed. It's nice to see, you know, people get opportunities, and especially when I see things that are cast out of the US, England, or the rest of Europe, pretty much anytime I see a queer character, the actor is queer too.
Yeah, I think the key is in the writing, and I think the key is education as well, because I think that a lot of people get not scared but sort of cautious about, you know, the LGBTQ plus community because of knowledge. Do you know, like, non-binary and situations like that? It can be very difficult. And if you've got people that accidentally misgender, do you know what I mean? I think that we need to educate, I think, and normalize all of this for people. And so I think that the more we see it on our screens as being a normal thing, I think the better. Because
absolutely.
I mean, my two girls, I've got a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old, and they're at that age where they're asking questions. Do you know what I mean? And I want to be the best parent possible. And I've already told them that as long as they're happy, I don't really care. Do you know what I mean? I think happiness is the key.
Great.
And if they want a girlfriend, boyfriend, if they want to identify as whatever, as long as they're happy. And it's really bizarre because I've got Vincent on the show live on Wednesday, who played Josh in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And he played a straight guy in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And now he's starring in a Hallmark Christmas movie. And apparently it's the first time in a Hallmark Christmas movie, they've got a same-sex relationship, which I think...
Which one is that?
That's Christmas on Cherry Lane, which is a new movie that's just come out.
Vincent.
Yeah, Vincent Rodriguez the Third. He played Josh. Okay. He's Filipino.
Oh, okay. I think I know him, actually. I think the first ever... it would be the first one was, I know because my friend Brad was the guy, but the first one was, I think a year or two ago, and it's, his name's Brad Harder, and then Jonathan Bennett from Mean Girls play a couple. This might be the first gay or queer and also, like, Filipino. So that's great.
Mm. But I'm quite shocked that it's only just now. Do you know what I mean? We're in 2023.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Get with the times, really do. We'll put the world to rights there, and I think more representation the better. Let's normalize it and not make it one of these things that is unusual to see. It should be normal.
Yeah.
I think one of the shows, I don't know if you've seen one of my favorite shows, Warrior Nun, was massive, and that was one of the key things in it, and obviously the following is massive for that show. I wanted to ask, what's next for you? What are you working on now? Is it a case of relaxing and enjoying the holidays and then getting back to work in the new year? Are you working on anything, writing anything, because obviously you write and direct as well?
So, well, okay, I had another thing come out recently that I haven't watched yet. That was my first bilingual project, so I'm excited to watch that. And I do intend to get a for French projects in Canada, a French agent, as a result of that. I definitely will be enjoying my holidays. I'm hoping that, I can't remember, Will might be visiting. And then, yeah, in terms of writing, I have a TV series that I've got a showrunner for that's in development. So fingers crossed that that gets made sometime soon. And that's a 6-episode comedy about a group of drag queens that are friends. Awesome. Yeah. And then, yeah, I actually started writing something. I was trying to write something the first time I went to the UK this year, and then kind of revisited it this fall and have been enjoying writing that. And yeah, I'll probably strap into that a little bit more in the new year. And then, yeah, we'll see in terms of acting. I hope that tarot reading is right.
Well, what I like is when actors say that, you know, it's one thing trying to get these parts going out, but then there's certain actors that say, do you know what? I'm going to make it myself. I'm going to write it myself. I'm going to get a showrunner like you've just said, and you're going to make it yourself. Because I think independent movies and shows are becoming a massive thing now, because these studios,
especially with streaming.
Definitely. I mean, look at these studios spending hundreds of millions of pounds, and then you've got, I think it's Godzilla Minus One that had a budget of 15 million, and apparently that's doing amazingly at the box office, which is quite embarrassing for these big studios. But I often find with independent projects, you get a lot more heart and soul, and you know that, you know, someone's put a lot more into it than this big machine at these big studios that just churn them out one after the other.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that for sure. And I think, I think there's like a care. I think people are more open to independent work now. And I also think the line between like independent and not independent is grayer now. Like, it's not just, you know, massive like MGM or whatever, or nothing, or like $100 a day. It's like there's more middle ground and funding sources and investors. And, you know, you make something independently, but then it gets purchased and distributed. So, yeah, there's lots of ways to get to Rome now.
And before we bid farewell, is there a show or a film out there at the moment that you'd absolutely die to be part of?
Yeah, I think White Lotus.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Good show. So many good shows out there. And I've got to say, Apple their shows are just fantastic. They're really, really
good. Yeah, there's some really good recent. The Emma Stone one, I want to watch that.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen that. Is that the one with, is it Mark Ruffalo in it as well? I'm not sure actually.
Maybe I think they play like they're
it's
on like
a Frankenstein
a
thing. Is it the Frankenstein one?
Oh no, that's a movie, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, this is like they're playing people that are on like a home flipping reality show.
Oh. So but we haven't got that yet over here. Good old the UK. We don't get anything in time. We might, yeah.
You might.
But Adam, thank you so much for being a great guest. Sugar
thank
Highs,
you.
Can't wait for season two. And I can't wait to check out the holiday shift. Have a great Christmas. Look after yourself. Keep safe.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to Be More Super, the podcast. This podcast has been brought to you by PropStore.com. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe and leave a rating and review. To stay up to date with Be More Super and get all the behind-the-scenes content, you can follow us on Instagram at Be More Super the Podcast and on Twitter at Be More Super. Keep safe and stay super.